If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Greetings, listener dear. I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
I'm Matthew, and welcome to another Pappy's Flatshare House Meeting.
Welcome. Thank you for returning. Thank you for bringing back your ear canals. We can't do this without them. And
it's a good point you make there, actually, because that's the thing with podcasting. There's a lot of trust in podcasting. You know, we record these episodes, we put them out there, and we hope we're not just shouting into a hollow tree. But you don't know that you're not.
Stood inside it, shouting away.
You hope there are ear canals all around it, and that that people are listening, but we don't know.
What is a podcast without an ear canal?
It's like the old proverb, isn't it? Like, if a tree falls in the forest. It's like, I mean, there must be podcasts out there that receive zero ear canals. I mean,
yeah.
Imagine
if we've been doing this for years now, probably a decade.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been doing it for over a decade, yeah.
So imagine if we haven't had one listener in all this
time.
Imagine
if no one's ever heard this podcast.
I mean, I can tell you now, me and Tom definitely haven't.
That's a good point. I've listened back, certainly. And you presume producer Corsham is listening as she edits.
She's not forced to.
But I think once they've gone out into the world.
Once they've gone out into the forest.
Has anyone heard these?
You kind of think, like, it's like, you know, the kind of mythical kind of Japanese soldiers who are still fighting World War II. Or, like, you know, Russian broadcasts to kind of like spies who no longer exist. It's kind of like, have we been broadcasting all this time to no one?
Imagine. I mean, to go one step further, my only proof that you two are doing this with me is I see you in my computer, but that's it.
That's true.
I have not seen you in person doing this for over a year now. So
I think the bigger question is, would it change anything? Like,
I think were listening, I think I'd change everything.
Yeah. I was going to say, I don't think it would affect us either way. I think we'd probably still keep doing this. I'm not sure we'd, you know, I think it's, maybe it's best we stay.
We've had some feedback on the podcast. Yeah, we're not going to worry about all that.
Anyway,
keep
it's another house meeting.
To yourself.
We hope someone's out there enjoying us getting together and waffling on. Hey, and if you want to prove that there are people listening, there's a perfect opportunity for you to do so later this week.
Yes,
good point, actually, Tom. Really good point.
Yeah,
that's a lovely, lovely link.
It was a perfect link. If only there was someone to hear it. It's just a great shame.
I felt like I'd teed that up.
The
right?
work we're doing is no. You teed that up perfectly, Tom. It wasn't. It was just. It wasn't. It's not your fault. It's not even our fault. It's the fact. It's all the millions of people who right now, currently, there are millions of people this very second not listening to this podcast. I'm going to say most of the world.
I mean,
if not all
billions.
Of the world, there are billions of people who are not listening to this podcast, and that is a crying shame. When you're giving us such gold, as there's an opportunity to prove you're listening later on this week. Yeah, we're doing another Flatshare Slam Down over the internet. You buy a ticket, you watch it on YouTube, and they're always really, really fun. We've done loads of them now. We've been doing them for the past year. If you've not watched one, make the change today. Get your ticket and watch one today. You
absolutely
simply have to.
Yeah, and it is an absolute belter to start with as well if it's your first, because we've got two of the best guests, best people, best comedians. we've got Tom Allen and Susie Ruffle.
What a power team of pals.
I don't know how we got them, but we did. A power team of pals, exactly. And it's on March 25th, which is this Thursday. If you're listening to this when it comes out, or soon to when it comes out, March 25th, 2021. And you can get your tickets. They'll be in the show notes for this show. They'll be on our Twitter. They'll be on our Instagram. They will be, just go to eventbrite.co.uk and find tickets there. But it's a fiver for tickets. It's free if you work for the NHS. There really is no excuse for not being there on Thursday night. We'd love to see you. I mean, we won't see you, but you'd love to see us. And we should also big up the Patreon as well. We should mention the Patreon, which again, we're putting out these episodes three times a week. We don't know if anyone's listening to them. We've got no clue. But if you'd like to help us out with that, then get over to patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare. You get Love Sex Shagdowns, which is our rude podcast. You get Flatshare Lockdowns, which is our
game show.
Also our rude podcast.
It's also our rude podcast. Yeah, they're all rude. And you get bonus beefs, and we've started doing bonus beefs with our main feed guests. So we had one with Anya, who did the episode last week. Absolutely brilliant. We had one with Kerry, which is up there. You can listen to that. Jimmy and Joey, their episode is up there as well. So all of those are on the Patreon. Patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare. For a fiver or above, you get all of that bonus content. Plus all of the archive as well. It's amazing.
It's all there to be got. And speaking of things that are there to be got,
the links are so strong. If only we had a listener.
Yeah, absolutely. Enjoy, or not, if you're not listening. But if you are listening, enjoy this week's house meeting.
I've had a thought.
I've got an issue.
I've got a question I want to ask you.
I want to talk.
I want to chat.
Okay, let's sit down and chew the fat.
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. What temperature should we set the heat?
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. Why on earth am I always weeping?
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. Who wet my bed while I was sleeping?
Let's have a house meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. What's the point? Does life have a meaning?
House meeting.
I don't want this to dominate. I don't want this to be like the main kind of, here we go, let's talk about this.
So this will be about doing a poo, won't it?
It isn't, actually.
Is it about your dry skin? Is it about the bits of your body that are flaking off? Is that what it is? Because whenever there's a... Listen, I don't want this to be the main thing, but would it be all right if I jizzed in the shower? And I know this is a house meeting, and we don't even live in the same house anymore. Sorry, guys. Sorry to spoil the illusion. To assume that we all sleep in the same bed, like Bert and Ernie and Eric and Ernie. What was it about people called Ernie? With the platonic sharing of beds. Yeah. Go on. What's your thing?
We've done quite a bit of platonic sharing of beds, because in the early days of the Edinburgh Festival, we would save money by buying, like, there were four of us in the early days of the Edinburgh Festival, and we would buy a two-bed house to last a month.
That was a problem. We actually bought the house. We should have rented it. Now I think about it. In the long term, actually, though, it was buying a two-bed house in Edinburgh was cheaper than taking the show up with Avalon.
So, it was, yeah. We actually saved money by doing that, didn't we?
Yeah. I remember Andy Zaltzman looking at us very jealous that we'd... Oh, you bought a house? Ah, I should have done that. No, I went and decided to go up with Avalon instead. But
over the years, of course, now we're one of the biggest landowners in.
that's right. You often see comedians wandering through the streets singing, "We all live in a Pappy's house." platonic sharing of beds. We've done that on a number of occasions. The first Edinburgh, actually, we had it was a double bed. What was it? A double bed, a single bed, and a sofa, and a leather sofa.
Oh yeah. Oh, that was the second year. Yeah, leather sofa. That was my domain.
Was that the second year?
I think
that was 2007.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first year was a double bed and two singles. Second year was three beds and one.
First year was me and Clarkie in a double bed, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the second year.
Did you ever have a side bunker?
Listen, I don't want this to dominate the conversation. never had a side bunker, I don't think. Don't take this the wrong way, but not with you.
Ah. I have shared a bed with Clarkey on a number of occasions. And I think the problem Clarkey and I both have is we're terrible snorers.
Yeah.
Both of us are really bad snorers. So the entire night is one of us is always awake and nudging the other one. And as soon as you nudge the other one, go on.
I thought you were going to say jizzers. I thought you were going to say, what?
we're excellent terrible, jizzers. How dare you?
Terrible jizzers.
It's like the opening scene of Friends, like.
What, the fountain?
With the fountain, yeah.
But I don't want that to dominate the conversation.
I don't.
No.
Harry, what did you not want to dominate the conversation?
Well, it feels pretty. It's a big to swing it back round to this conversation from where we've just been. But I was reading my daughter's favourite book at the moment is a book of animals, right?
And great. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So obviously you're into standard territory. Simple picture of, I mean, like we're early days, we should say, in the reading journey. Mm-hmm. You know,
I mean, your daughter is very, very young. She's only a few
boring
months
books.
Old.
Yeah, they're boring books, man. Like there's nothing going on at the moment. It's pretty much here's a thing. It says what the thing is. On we go.
Yeah.
But obviously, with the book of animals, you got to jazz it up with the noise of the animal.
Of course.
Yeah. Mm.
But this book, man, it's throwing me two curveballs, and I don't know the answer to them. And I thought, certainly, well, A, Crossbow, an experienced father now.
Thank you.
B, Clarkey, an animal man.
Yeah.
Not the animal man.
Do you know how do you know how I got how I became a father? My phenomenal jizz.
you weren't even in the same flat, were you?
I was in Edinburgh. I was on a sofa in Edinburgh.
These long-distance relationships, they're not a problem for you, are they? They kind of have to be for your own safety.
But yeah. So, go on.
That's the whole problem with Superman, isn't it? That's why Superman could never... Do you think if Superman wanted to get preggers with Lois, they would have to do it, like, continents apart and aim...
Or he'd just have to do it into a turkey baster. I'm with you on this. Sometimes you get an animal and you're like, what's that animal's noise?
So I've got two that are absolutely killing me.
Okay.
I was surprised by both of them because I thought I've got an angle on this. So you're reading in, off you go. Cat to start with, brilliant, solid start. There's the cat, there's the sheep, there's the mouse.
Can I ask you a question though? When you make the noise of these animals, how much do you try and emulate the animal and how much do you try and emulate the kind of sound, you know, the onomatopoeic kind of word?
Yeah, well, yeah. So my wife's given me jip about my hen. Because I go chuck 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 chuck,
oh, chuck-a-a. As opposed to
yeah, I go right. Chuck 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 chuck, chuck-a-a. And she's not a massive fan of that. My wife,
you're looking around as if your wife is going to leap out and start pecking you on top of the head.
I'm trying to see if the book's nearby.
Go and get the book. Go and have a look. Have a little wander, see if you can find the book, because. You know, we can properly go through this here, and yeah,
we can
here
just
we go
through our own animal noises in the meantime.
Okay,
so
big
solid
shout
start.
Out to the, who's the author, by the way, because I always think whenever you've got an author on books like this, they got some cheek.
Yeah,
they've
oh my god,
got a bit of cheek, haven't
so
they?
so many of these books have authors, and it's like, are you fucking kidding me? What a life! I mean, what a life! My God.
If you're also the illustrator, free pass. But if it's words by and pictures by, words by is absolutely stealing a living.
Like the first person who did it, fair play. Because the first person, you're like, that's a good idea for a kid's book.
Oh, fair play.
But after
fair
that, after surely that first person's going, hold on.
Fair play.
Yeah, hold on. You're bringing out an animal noise book as well.
Also, what are the publishing meetings like where someone's like, you're sure you're opening with cat? you know, like you've gone with Cat on page one. Are you sure? Does that give you anywhere else to go? You know, I mean, if you start, and like, do they have
it's,
those conversations?
It's like Chekhov's cat, isn't it? If you've got a cat on page one, it's going to meow also on page one.
I mean, like, you know, like, because this, honestly, this book has made some really weird editorial decisions. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, this has been fucking thrown together. Because, right, so page one, cat. Meow. Cat.
Meow.
Piece of cake. No, that's not the second thing.
No wonder it's hard.
It's not that random. But like, okay, so... So, yeah, cat. Number two, duck.
Quack, quack. Quack.
Happy.
Quack, 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 yep.
Yeah.
Number three, and this isn't one of my problem animals for noises, but editorially, what's happening here? Number three, polar bear.
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like, hold if this on. Was an if this was an Attenborough documentary, you'd be like, hang on, we need to have a chat well, about the edit.
It's interesting as well, because bear... Very, very prevalent. You know, kids love from teddy bears. You know, the bears are a big part of the landscape of what kids are into. But it's very hard to know. Like, lions and tigers roar, right? That's what they do. We know lions and tigers roar. Rawr, fine. Bears kind of roar.
I don't growl.
Don't
be a prick here, but tigers don't roar.
What do tigers do?
They growl.
Right. They go... Rawr.
That's okay. A great fact.
They never cold
Clarky, that is. That is. That's the man I shared a bed with for a whole month. My
God. I can't believe
you
never had a side bunker, mate.
Tigers don't roar.
Tigers don't roar. Only lions do.
That's the name. That's the title of your book.
Tigers don't roar.
That's good. I'm
lost already. I've got the title.
It's a good title for a kid's book, isn't it?
The Tigers Don't
The Tiger
roar,
That yeah. Couldn't Roar. Spoiler alert, none
it's
of them
all tigers,
can.
Yeah.
I tricked you. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Bears have an absolute... They have a large presence in childhood that belies their presence in the rest of your life. You're never going to see a fucking bear, mate. And when you do, it'll be in a circus and it'll feel sad.
Yeah.
Anyway.
If you're going to, like, Russia in the 80s.
But yeah. Also...
Or you'll be in California and you'll shit yourself. It's like one of the two.
Yeah. You'll be in a national park.
It's a big call as well, though, to not just go... And is this the point you're making? Not just to go with bear? They've gone with polar bear?
Oh, well, in its defence, it is baby's very first black and white book...
Okay.
Because babies like.
Oh, hang on. I've just solved it for myself. Clarky, you're absolutely right. That's why they're all black and white animals. That hadn't occurred to me until this very moment.
Right, now we've got to the bottom. And you know
okay,
what?
And now we're all going to have to make the noise of a penguin. I get you.
Well, and there's the first problem animal. Next page, penguin.
Yeah, and does it have a sort of description of what the noise would be?
No, it has a picture of a fucking penguin.
That's it.
It's just a picture of a penguin and the word penguin. That's how basic this book is.
But yeah, doesn't you're even, right. The,
doesn't
the,
say. The, doesn't the give you a word to try and go at.
The key to unlocking, getting kids to name animals is to maybe do the sign, but also to do the sound. So, you know, it's easier to go woof, woof, than it is to say dog.
Yeah.
But then simpler animals like that. Well, there's one in a book I was reading recently where there's a rabbit.
Oh, that's my next problem animal.
What's
that's
a rabbit
it?
Doing? And I think it had two. I think it had like squee squee written next to it or something
squee,
like that.
Squee squee?
Yeah. What's a rabbit
penguin
doing?
A rabbit.
I'd go
absolutely
for...
Absolutely do me.
Yeah. Yeah. But that is impossible for a kid to do.
Yeah.
It's more of a face than a sound as well.
Yeah, it is.
It certainly can't be put in a word.
Do that sound again. Listen, that's the sound I would fear when I was sharing a bed with Clarky for a month in Edinburgh. Wake up at 2 a.m.
That's on a side Clarky, bunker, mate. That's a full-on.
Have you brought a rabbit home?
Well, she's flying for Avalon.
It's just a white book, this one.
So yeah, you've named the two problem animals. There they go. So cat, duck, polar bear, fine. Penguin, problem. So yeah. Penguin, I kind of go.
You do.
That's Pingu,
isn't it? What you think is Pingu? Yeah.
What do you do for a fucking penguin? Kills me, and I can feel Gloria looking at me, being like, "You don't know, do you?"
Yeah, that's it. Because that moment will come when they ask you a question that you don't know the answer to, but you don't want to come this early on.
No, are you happy with that, Clark? Is that?
I think that is quite accurate, but
insufficient.
Go on, let's hear it again, Clarky. Sorry, because I was nattering away.
So it's grr.
It's grr. You're growling again. They growl.
Grr. Penguins grr.
They growl with a high. They sort of, it's a falsetto growl.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a good
thing. What are you going for?
Oh, yeah.
That's the name of your novel.
The falsetto growl of the penguin.
Just the falsetto growl. It's a great title.
I don't know how it pertains to me, but I'm going to use it nevertheless.
Zebra. Okay, fine. Zebra, you go for a horse, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which again, what do you do for a horse? Wait, hang on, that's Fonzie. What's your horse?
Fonzie's black and white, though. The leather jacket, the
that's
t-shirt.
That's a rat, what you do.
It's Roland Rat, yeah.
Zebra fairs. That's my zebra.
Yeah, I'm terrible with horse, because I always try and do the... like that kind
well,
of
that's
thing.
The other... So, no, but that is a pleasurable sound, isn't it? But then rabbit's the problem, yeah.
What is this podcast?
I'm just saying that. I didn't want to dwell on it. And then they've also chucked in fish.
Oh, ooh. Yeah. Fish is a tricky one because you kind of want to go bob, bob, bob. But it's like bob, bob, bob isn't really what they do.
Bob, bob, bob,
bob, bob, bob.
But again, that's a face, not a sound, isn't it?
Yeah,
Clarky?
That's it. Yeah,
you can do. You do that. That's not right either, is it?
No. Fish famously silent, aren't they?
I hope everyone at home's making these noises along with us.
They are. Everyone's joining in, aren't they?
Yeah, of course. You know, if you want to send us an audio recording of you doing one of the problem animals, we're talking rabbit, we're talking penguin, we're talking fish, we're talking camel. Well, camels spit, don't they? So yeah, that's what I would think of.
But I bet they've got a distinctive noise, don't they? I just don't know what. I bet they've got like a.
Do you know what that?
I've got
that,
one sound.
I think that's pretty good.
Is that a large penguin? Who let that large penguin in here?
It's weird that you two guys talk alike, because you've never met each other. You don't live in the same climes at all, but for some reason you've got really, really similar accents.
Different poles.
That's the other thing that I got thinking about this week. Did it lead me onto it? It didn't. Accents. I started thinking about accents, right? It's fucking accents. That's mental, isn't it?
And as Parry goes mental. Into it, he really midlands it up. He really goes, he ramps accents. Up the midlands. Actions, do you mean to that thing? That was bad. Guys, that was, by my own admission, that was bad.
Isn't it weird,
bad,
though?
Accents.
Like I can't quite get my head round accents.
Apparently.
It feels... go on.
These two worlds colliding. Apparently cows moo with an accent, depending where they're from.
This is a great fact from...
No.
Well, okay, here's the game. Yeah, it was,
okay, yeah, good, really good. Okay, this is a good game.
You do a cow, where's it from?
Okay. I'll go first.
It's really odd. Trick question. It's a penguin.
It's a penguin sat on a camel's back.
It's the Arctic cow, as it's called.
No,
the title
no
of
animal.
My novel.
No animal roars, in fact. They all growl.
Interesting fact for you. So it's called Accent Cows. Yeah, we'll work on the title. Anyway. But it's...
What about
it's
cows
really
that for an accent?
Oh, there we go.
I love that.
Okay, so... I've got a better one.
Where a moo from?
Yes, there you go. That's better than mine. I was going to say, how do you pronounce that again?
How do you pronounce that again?
That's just repeating what you've just done.
Dairy good accents?
Yeah, I like that, actually, yeah. Dairy good.
Okay. Milk. Where are you from?
Milk. Milk.
Round the corner where the accent's made.
Is Hull.
Milk, where are you from?
Okay, guys, now you join us as we embark upon the first round of Milk, where are you from? The game that has gripped the world of podcasting. Milk, where are you from? Obviously, it depends on what region you come from, but most people know it as milk, where are you from? It's a bit like it. Some people call it TIG, some people call it TAG, but most people know it as milk, where are you from?
Milk, where are you from?
Okay, here we go. Milk, where you from?
Okay.
Parry,
okay.
A seasoned milk, where you from player. Oh. The inventor of the game, and indeed, one of the key namers of the game.
It's what's really hard about this is not being able to practice it first. Like, you want to be able to gauge where it's coming out of. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I'd go with the mouth. I'd say the mouth. Don't attempt anything ambitious for round one.
I know it's called milk, but...
Don't go round the corner.
Meow. Oh, no, see, I didn't mean to do... That was Northern Ireland, wasn't it?
That was the same as you did before. Yeah. Do you want to have another run-up at it?
I'm trying to change it.
Okay.
Okay.
May. Oh, that's
a good... And then round again. Okay.
Me.
Oh.
Me. Oh, Scotland. I'd
me.
Say.
That's a Highland cow.
It's a Glaswegian cow.
It's a Glaswegian cow. Me. Right.
Me.
It's a gorble.
Me. Yeah, very good, Crosby.
Thanks very much. I was really worried it was going to sail to absolutely nothing, but I'll happily take a 10-second silence like when they change gears on a plane. You feel you're going to drop out of the sky. And then, yeah, you know what? That was good, Crosby.
Me.
This is a round we're calling Simu Jimmy.
House meeting.
I've said it once before, but it bears a repeat.
House meeting.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
God, do you think we'll ever go back to that was a good time where we shared a place together. It was Glasgow, wasn't it?
Yeah.
An absolute fine city.
Yes, I'd love to be back in Glasgow. Yeah. Do you know what? That is one of the things I find hard about lockdown is not being able to travel around the UK. I was fortunate enough for work to be able to go. It was only Hitchin. It was only as far as I was going, but it was really fun. Just the arriving in a town is always exciting, you know. Yeah. Seeing the layout of a town that's unfamiliar to you, I just find it really, really thrilling, you know. That's where they're, you know, like Hitchin's great. There's a big market square with a really enticing looking pub just over the road, and I thought, oh, you could have some fun nights in Hitchin. I mean, I'm sure if anyone's from Hitchin, they're probably going, it's a fucking shit. I don't know what you're thinking about, but it's very easy to romanticise those kind of places.
Yeah,
I've got one for you though.
Oh, go on.
Is it going to be Hitchin?
Hitchin, yeah. I didn't speak to anyone from Hitchin while I was in Hitchin. I parked in the car park.
Only the cows.
I walked to work. I walked back to the car park. Okay. Mew.
Oh!
Liverpool, I'd say.
It is, yeah. It was a Liverpudlian cow. Yeah, yeah.
I was trying to think of a pun, but... I was going to say liver cow, and then I was like, that's not how it works, is it?
Deal. No, it's not great, but, you know, it's not worse or better than all the stuff we've done before.
Livermool. No.
Newcastle.
Mew. Like, it's hard, weird. It is, okay.
It's a hard game to play. Clarkie, do you have one for us?
Oh, dear. No.
You know what? You were more honest than the two of us. You're more honest than me and Parry.
Do you know what?
Give it a go. Even if you take a few on the mic run-ups at it, I think that's all right.
Even if you go to Northern Ireland twice and bounce back around.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not good at accents at the best of time, and then with an animal noise on top of it.
I know, it's true. We're not tricky. Saying it's an easy game to play, Clarkie. No one's ever said that.
Okay, how about this? Mow.
Go on. Is that how you wanted it to come out?
No.
From the look on his face, I'm going to say no, yeah.
But I fear if I do it again, it's going to be the exact same thing.
Go on, one more time.
No, that's bad, isn't it? Mow. No.
Are you Ben Kingsley from Sexy Beast?
I was actually doing London. So
you're a Cockney.
Mow, fucking mow.
Yeah,
it was good though.
Yeah, thanks.
We got there.
Apples and pears. Moo.
Yeah, it's hard not to go to try and put an A in there, and then. Oh, that's Mo. Good, Crosby. That's good.
No, that's Ray Mo. Winston from Sexy Mo. Beast. No, hang on. Are we doing the whole of Sexy Beast, but with moves?
You're not going to have to turn this opportunity. Mow.
It's Sexy Beast, but with cows, like the four musketeers got the dogs away, like the muskerhounds, but with Sexy Beast.
That's the next. That'll be the next step. It'll be the black and white book of Sexy Beast for toddlers. That's the next big project for us. Mow.
Increasingly, the older I get, I realise that when you're a teenager, you're led to believe that cool films. I think you merge and confuse unpleasant films with coolness.
Oh, absolutely.
I feel like there's a fundamental in this teenage psyche of if something is unpleasant, then it must be in some way cool, because all of the films of my... the films that I think were of classics when I was from my time of being like, right, here I am, I'm into film, I love cinema. Now, I think about rewatching, and it's like, you can rewatch any film you want these days. You know, it's all there to be found.
You can, can't you?
And like, I so rarely have the desire to watch any of the films that I thought of as classics or thought was cool, because I just think that I'll probably find it a bit unpleasant and bleak.
They'll stress you out, yeah. No one's going back to American History X.
Yeah, exactly that. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's and yet, like, so for example, like Sexy Beast, which is like, don't get me wrong, a terrific film, but it's thoroughly unpleasant. I must have watched it 3 or 4 times in the space of like 2 years back then. But when am I ever going to watch Sexy Beast again? Because it's just a bit nasty.
Well, but then
is that part of getting old?
I don't know. Like, I kind of wonder that with it's, but I think that maybe I'm thinking of something different, of like hard watches rather than unpleasant watches.
You're thinking of Beauty and the Beast rather than Sex and the Beast. We banned hard watches when we were sharing a bed in Edinburgh. Nothing that might bring it about.
No unpleasantness tonight, please.
Is it that just when you are when you're young, you know, you haven't really, I mean, if you're very lucky, you haven't experienced sort of life's hardships, you know, you haven't experienced bad things, and as you get older, increasingly you experience more of the things that make films hard to watch, you know, like you know, death, not wanting to make this too bleak, but that sort of thing. So you sort of, you don't,
so
you don't,
you're
you
get, saying you, since
you,
yeah,
since you get that from life anyway, so when you watch a film you're like, oh, I'd sooner just watch it, you know.
So watch, since watch you stomped that guy's face into the curb, you won't go back to American History X.
Yeah, except when you've lived it, why watch it?
I'm the same since Matthew stomped my head into a curb. And to be fair, I did do a side bunk and we did have a roll, so...
Well, you lost the fight, you had to share a bed with me. You know, that's how we found, that's how we worked out who got the single bed.
But I do know what you mean. I got a lot of, yeah, like, I mean, I don't know why I'm just picking Edward Norton movies, but Fight Club, again, is another one I think of. But, you know, films that were quite brutal that I think I wouldn't go back and watch that now. But I probably, when I was in my 20s, I watched it all the time.
Yeah.
I just don't need, viscera. I just don't, I've got enough, you know, got enough horror in my mind already. Which makes it sound like I'm a really bleak person. I'm not at all. But do you know what I mean? There's just enough out there. I mean, my wife is a good example of someone, like, she doesn't really want, when we're watching a thing, she'll always say, oh, I hope they can just chat about what's going on here. And, you know, there's no sort of misunderstanding and they can just explain it and it's all fine. And you go, you're sort of saying, I hope there's no conflict. I hope there's no drama.
There's no drama.
And it's that sort of what all telly really is, isn't it? It's got to be a bit of conflict and a bit of drama. Otherwise, there's no story.
But Clarky, maybe... you weren't allowed to play with guns, were you?
No, we had our guns banned.
Were you allowed to play with guns?
One terrible day they all got thrown in the bin. And that was it. And we weren't ever allowed guns again.
What happened?
We'd had an argument about we were having
an argument. You shot your brother's arm off, didn't you?
But we realised that the guns didn't actually shoot anything, so we're just using the butts to just really
pistol whipping each other. Yeah.
But yeah,
weirdly went inside, watched Goodfellas again.
Mo.
Was that supposed to be Robert De Niro?
No, it's Joe Freshinko.
Bye, everybody.
Goodfellas.
Goodfellas. Oh, it's good stuff.
It's good stuff. Well, it wasn't a bad game, was it? But look, I did say I didn't want it to dominate proceedings.
No, and it slightly has, but that's okay. That's all right. What would you like to dominate proceedings?
Oh, no, we're going to start the episode.
House meeting.
For what belief would you take a beating?
House meeting.
Talking about Glasgow and Edinburgh, do you think there's something in, like, Thomas Hardy, when his wife died?
Oh, yeah.
Thomas Hardy didn't get on with his wife in the last kind of 10 years of their marriage.
That's
right. And then she passed away.
He wrote a poem on the night she died, about, like, it was literally like, why are you making so much bloody noise clomping up the stairs? Because she was really ill. She could barely make it up the stairs. Yeah. And she was going up the stairs to lie in her bed and die. And he was like writing a poem going, can't you bloody keep it down? I'm Thomas Hardy. I'm trying to write a test of the d'Urbervilles. Keep your, you know, why are you clomping around the house? Anyway, she went upstairs and died. He came back downstairs, hid the poem, and wrote another poem going, how was I to know on that night as you trotted up to bed so gentle and fleet of foot that it was to be our last night together? And then after he died, they found, in a way, they didn't get rid of it, but they found the other poem. They're like, what's this, Hardy? What's this, you cheeky beggar?
Yeah. He's a real bastard.
But yeah, he didn't get on with her. They drifted apart. Yeah.
Yeah, and then once she'd gone, he kind of felt bad about it. And then he went on a tour. He travelled around all the places they had been together in their life when she was alive in happier times, and like wrote poems about revisiting those places once she was dead.
Yeah, but he did it as his honeymoon to his next wife.
Is that true?
Yeah. He got married again, but was still plagued by guilt. Was like, I tell you what, let's go to Hitchin. Oh, God. You know, that's funny. Oh, you went to Hitchin with your last wife. it's fancy just going to Hitchin. And then he did a little sort of grand tour of all the places that he'd been So he had a few issues.
Yeah. He had a big issue. There's things going on with Hardy, isn't there?
Oh yeah. Yeah. He had a few issues. But what were you going to say? Sorry.
I was just going to say, I've written you a poem. I was going to say, like, there are certain places that you kind of go, if there was like a nostalgia tour, like you think like you need to leave it the right amount of time. You need to leave it like a really decent amount of time, like 10 or 15 years or something. And then like revisit those kind of places.
Yes.
Like Glasgow and Edinburgh, they're you know, if Pappies were doing a nostalgia tour, it'd probably just be mostly to Scotland.
Some of our happiest times were in Scotland, yeah. The interesting thing about that is, firstly, I always find those kind of things very, 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 very difficult to actually recapture the excitement you think you're going to have. You know, if you go back to meet your old uni mates in Canterbury, I find those things a little bit too kind of bittersweet, a little bit too,
yeah.
I think you're chasing something which is impossible to sort of hold in your hand. And so I find those things a little bit hard to do. I still do them occasionally. I've still done those things, but I always come away from it going, oh, I don't know.
Have you had a school reunion?
I have had a school reunion, yeah, yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
So what year was it? Like what, 10 years, 15?
I'm trying to think of what it was. I went to a primary school reunion.
Which
is a really weird one, yeah. A primary school reunion
Were you still in secondary school?
No.
How long ago?
Yeah, it was year 7. Yeah, just
you forgot. You forgot your plimsoll.
we'd left. Yeah, I think I'd left uni, so I would have been sort of 23, 24, and they got together a sort of primary school reunion, and a bunch of us met up back in Bromley and went to a few pubs in Bromley, and that was really weird because you're really meeting strangers, because the person you are at 7 and the person you are at 24, there's almost no connection at all. You don't look the same, you don't sound the same, you don't talk the same, like, you know, any of those things.
Do you even know who people are?
Well, no, like, exactly. You don't really. Also, there's when I was looking through the list of people who were going, there were people who were like, I mean, it was only one class meeting up. It wasn't the whole, you know, primary school, just one class of 30 of us. There were still names I was like, well, you must have gone to the school because you're coming to this reunion, but I don't know who you are.
Yeah.
You know, really, really, really bizarre. Have you been to one?
No. I feel a bit... I don't know what to say, really. Like, I don't particularly want to. As a kid, you kind of feel like it's going to be something that happens, but I know it's because it's kind of like an American thing, I guess.
Yeah.
You kind of think it's going to be like an important day later on in your life, a reunion, but like it just doesn't come really.
You've never been invited, yeah.
I was invited to go back and do a speech for the Leavers Assembly.
Were you?
But then it kind of fell through. Now that I think about it,
they said,
I was asked.
We heard you do podcasts. We haven't listened to one yet, but would you come back?
I accepted the invite, and then I haven't heard from them since.
You had the speech already. I I'm going to say to you now, guys, forget everything you've learnt and answer me this question. What noise does a penguin make? Hey? No, what, none of you know, do you? You're leaving school without this vital piece of information that you should have learnt at the age of 1.5. You haven't even got it, have you? Go back, guys.
And then I stand up at the back and go...
Yeah. Like in Dead Poets Society. You stand up on a chair, then everybody stands up on a chair.
I grew up in my corrupted. Finish speech by going, guys, it was actually a trick question. Tigers don't roar. I've been Tom Parry.
Have you started your own round of applause, Tom?
And by the way, the only reason I'm there is because I got held back all
those years. Clarky's still going,
Parry, you got out.
I'm waiting for a school reunion just so I can hang out with Clarky.
House meeting.
Is having subtitles in a foreign film cheating?
House meeting.
Yeah, you are right. It is a weird feeling going back.
The feeling I get walking through Canterbury, where we went to university, is, this is going to sound bleak, but when somebody you know passes away, you sometimes feel like you see them all the time, you know? You feel like, you know, your brain is just computing the knowledge that they're not there. And so you're constantly seeing this person all over the place. And it felt like the times I've been back to Canterbury, I wander through the streets and it's not the thing that... The thing that is different about it is that I can't walk down the street and run into 25 people that I know, because all the people I know from Canterbury moved out of Canterbury in the sort of early 2000s. So I walk down the street, I constantly see faces and I go, oh, that person must be, you know, so and so. And it never is. And that's quite a ghostly feeling, you
and
know.
That is why Crosby doesn't watch bleak films.
Because my mind's a fucking hornet's nest, baby. I don't need the girl to kick one. I've got one right up here.
He'll never go back to... He never goes back to the same place twice. Can't go back to Hitchin. Oh, he's been there once. But if he goes again, he'll just be looking at the ghosts of his former visit.
Always
walking
moving
around
forward.
The square.
What noise does a shark make? Always moving forwards.
Is that Michelle? Hello? Oh, sorry, I thought you were someone else.
Hang on, wasn't that a tortoise? Oh, is that Michelle? Yeah, it's on me back. Oh, quick finish, Clarky, tortoise.
Hello.
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 Remember me?
Hello.
Remember me?
Hello. You won't remember me, but we're at primary school together. Are you sure? Because I'm pretty sure I'd remember someone who was green, looked like a weird hand.
Oh yes, but let me finish. I'm a ghost.
House meeting.
The socks only useful for putting your feet in.
House meeting.
Well, there you go. What a shame you weren't listening to that, because that was great.
Pearls to no swine.
No little piggies listening to that.
We're huffing and a puffing, and no one's at home.
There we go. So again, the usual stuff. Don't forget the Patreon, patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare. Don't forget to go to Eventbrite and get a ticket to see Tom Allen and Susie Ruffle on Thursday with us.
And us.
With us, yeah. with us and us. Yeah, yeah. we're appearing twice. It's going to be Tom Allen, Susie Ruffle, us and us. Follow us on Twitter, find us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, all of that kind of stuff. But most of all, have a lovely time.
Of course.
And a wonderful life.
Today's episode was produced, as always, by Emma Corsham.
Corsham team.
Cheers, everyone.
Bye. Bye.
Once upon a time, there was patrons, and they needed a neighbourhood watch roll call. Are you sitting comfortably? Then we'll begin. Oh, Darren the tree was upset. Someone had given him a fright. Someone had come around his bark.
Yes. Ooh, what a fright to have someone come around your bark.
Someone had come around his bark. And that person was Dan Knight.
Ooh. Ooh. Well, wise old Owl was in a really funny mood. Somebody had come around his bark. No, wise old Al was in a very funny mood. He couldn't remember where he'd put his favourite book.
Really?
He couldn't. Oh. He'd looked high, and he'd looked low, and he'd even looked in the basement.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes.
Anyway, next one.
Oh, this is very early for the wheels to fall off, boys and girls. We haven't even got to Clarkie yet.
Here we go. Yes, little froggy was in a
That's what you need, a new character.
I've got it. It was the character that was
froggy's come to save us.
Little froggy Frou Frou was having a really difficult day. Oh dear. It was so windy, he'd been blown halfway across the pond, and his poor little flippers were incredibly chapped. That wasn't work either. But don't worry, he said. Here's Mr. Badger to help me. Badger, come over here, my poor chapped flippers. Have you got some saffron for me? He said, no, I haven't. But I tell you who has. The weaselly old weasel, Baron... Baron the Weaselly Weasel. Anyway, all of these. The end. This story was written by Laura Clapham.
Oh dear. Well, boys and girls.
Laura, I don't know why she sent that in. I've got to apologise to our listeners.
The less we say about that story, the better. Well. The wise old owl said to Flippy Flock, you've hurt my feelings. Well, said the Flippy Frog, you wouldn't believe what that badger did. Oh, the badger called Felix.
No, you know what? It's better than I did, Clarkie, so I can't criticise. It's pretty good. Right.
The weasel had left the doctor's surgery.
Sounds like Russian code.
The doctor had been very kind once again, but couldn't repair her teeth. Go to the dentist, he said. I sure will, she said. A real idiot, she felt. But she couldn't help but contain her excitement at the idea of meeting Ollie Roycevelt.
Oh, well.
Why is it so hard?
It was tricky, this one. I don't know why. Okay, well, it was a great day at the animal parade. Donkey.
Oh, let's hope we're not going to list all of them.
Donkey was strolling hand in hand with Gibbon, and I don't know how they managed that.
Proof in hand.
The original Odd Couple. Donkey and Gibbon still giving it a go.
Donkey and Gibbon stepping out together.
They said it wouldn't work.
Hold the front pages, we've got some gossip. Donkey and Gibbon are an item.
I salute them. About time, too.
It really is a true Gibbon and Pony show. Oh, Donkey and Gibbon. So, Donkey and Gibbon were stepping out, and you wouldn't believe it, but a newt was riding on the back of a border collie. That newt's name? Why, it was Rob Wally.
Well, at the animal parade.
Oh, yes.
They were all there, paired up.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
2 by 2, it sounds like.
The sloth and... The sloth.
The sloth and the sloth. And you and I'd have two animals, yeah, sure.
It's not, less controversial. It's less controversial. Not as many people talking about that as the donkey and the gibbon. When the two sloths came together, you just thought, well, yes,
yeah,
as
sure,
predicted, you know, really.
Sloth and the sloth looking at the donkey and the gibbon disturbingly. What on earth are they doing? They asked Scott Kirbishly.
The gibbon and the donkey went to sea in a beautiful pea-green boat. They floated all the way to Telford.
Oh!
Yes. That's right. A lovely story by Diane Telford.
Wonderful story, Diane, and thank you very much. Now, back to the animal parade. A lot of people wanted to interview the donkey, and the gibbon, and ask them how they met. Well, said the gibbon, the donkey just told me he had a wonderful pair of knackers, and then he flashed them. And I wrote the whole thing down and sold the story to Tobias Ashton.
The little field mouse sat alone in a field, nibbling on a digestive bicky.
Ah.
A short story written by Nicky.
I am not going to believe this. The gibbon has been spotted stepping out on the town with the owl.
Will
someone think of the gibbon in their hour of need? And by the way, the owl's book was behind the bathroom door. Who found it? Jessica Speed.
I am not going to believe it. I am not going to believe that the donkey has only gone and shacked up with the stoat. I couldn't believe it. When I asked what he was doing, he said my love for the gibbon just disappeared. One day I woke up, and it just wasn't the same. And I had to cry onto the shoulder of Karen Jane.
I will not believe what's going on in the town centre.
The donkey and the gibbon are having an argument.
No! They've taken it to the streets.
Oh, and the noise is something fearsome.
You won't believe... I'm going to tell... my good pal, F. McPherson.
F. McPherson.
The gibbon was drunk in the bar last night. And loose lips. The comments were barbed. I wouldn't like to be in the donkey's shoes. I said to the barman, Jack Narbed.
I was there in the pub last night, listening to the gibbon railing at everybody who came close, pissed out of their mind, pointing the finger, slapping people upside their head,
and calling everybody a pack of jerks. They even slapped the mayor, Charles Perks.
Oh. Well, the donkey.
The donkey.
The donkey's gone mad.
That concludes.
He's running around the town, kicking everyone's front door in, shouting with such vehemence. The old Bill has had to lock him up. The chief of police, Alex Kremin.
Well, that concludes today's Patreon Neighbourhood Watch roll call. Night, night, listener dear. Night, night.
The donkey's gone mad.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.